From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather forecast. Today, showers are likely. Cloudy conditions and 69 degrees expected for a high. Tonight, a chance of showers, 47 for a low. Tomorrow, some morning fog, then gradually becoming sunny and a high near 69. And Thursday, sunny and 71. 66 degrees now. KQEN news time is 12:36.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. It's been 5 weeks since the fires began up the North Umpqua. I wanted to check in with Douglas County Commissioner Tom Press about kind of the county's role in the recovery from this situation and related topics. Commissioner, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
Well, first of all, I wanted to get your take. What was your thoughts the first time you were able to go up and look around up 138, Rock Creek, and some of the other areas?
Boy, that was surreal. You know, the first time I went up there, it was so smoky you couldn't see very far, but when you got past Idlewild Park and past the Narrows and turned to Rock Creek, from there on, it's just devastated. You know, it was something like you'd see in a movie. You know, the houses were burned, the foundations was all that was left, all the trees were gone, and honestly, it was that way pretty much all the way up to Steamboat. You know, once the smoke got out of the area enough where you could see a little bit, you could see further back towards Glide, where it was more of a mosaic of burnt here and not there, but you know, there was still some green left. But I'll tell you, there's a corridor up there along the river that it absolutely is moonscape now, and it was quite a shock to me, to be honest with you.
And I imagine everyone, the first time they get to go up there at whatever point that is, has anyone I've talked to certainly has had a similar reaction. Your movie analogy is pretty common. People have just felt like it doesn't seem, you know, it's like, where did I go? And one of the other elements for people who recreate and go up a lot of those areas, more than one person has made the comment of being confused because so many things are gone that they're not quite sure where they are sometimes.
Yeah, it looks completely different. You know, if you just stand on the road, all of a sudden wake up there, you're not going to know where you're at in places. It's definitely different. It's still going to be a beautiful river again, and but it clearly is it's changed. It's changed for our lifetime.
Following all the recent loss of property in the wildfires, what's the county's role in helping with recovery?
The county is kind of the lead agency for managing the partnerships with the state and federal agencies that are in coordinating the recovery support for the wildfire victims. You know, we're working with the DEQ and the EPA right now to begin that cleanup process. And that's for collecting rights of entries so that we can do the first step, which is to remove the household hazardous waste that exists when you have a home burned up. And then the second step is the debris removal, which would be the ash and trash. And, you know, from there, we've got to continue to assist housing and shelter options and solutions with Red Cross and FEMA. We're the liaison and the resource center between the state and federal partners. So providing those contacts and resources to those, that are impacted by the fires is vital. You know, the number of properties affected is somewhere around 160, and we need to make sure that all of those are taken care of.
And of course, 109 homes were lost, but some places homes remain, but maybe other structures, barns, garages, outbuildings, etc., they were what burned. The pattern of the fire is always unique, and it kind of goes where it wants to. As you're going through this process, you talked about different phases of it. And, of course, I think a week or so ago, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer put out the public health emergency, which, if I understand correctly, is kind of a framework to go up through these paths between starting with the county and working clear up to FEMA.
That's right. You know, part of that is the process we need to make the public aware of how hazardous when a house burns the way it does, especially down to the foundation. The things that are left behind, the asbestos, the heavy metals, the propane tanks, the gas tanks, those kind of things are quite dangerous, and they need to be disposed of properly. And there's definitely things that are within mobile homes, houses, even RVs that need to be taken care of. And that's part of why it's a public health emergency.
Talk about what the commissioners have been doing with the various community organizations involved in helping people.
Well, we've been very focused and engaged on you know, the health and well-being of our residents. So it's from coordinating with the Douglas County Sheriff's Office and the search and rescue during the initial evacuations, to providing updates and information, you know, for the recovery effort. You know, Glide is a unincorporated area, which makes Douglas County its government. So the commissioners are their leaders, and we've provided access to the use of the fairgrounds to the Red Cross and Salvation Army, and dedicated, you know, that as a location for displaced residents and livestock, horses, and other animals. You know, we've set up a program with our solid waste department for wood debris removal, place to take the wood debris, because, you know, there's trees and brush everywhere that are down in people's property. We coordinated with our tax assessor's office on a tax relief program for those affected. We coordinated with senior services to continue to provide pickup and delivery of the senior meals in that area. And, you know, we're working with many different entities to provide the best overall recovery for these residents. We've met with the city manager of Malibu last week to discuss what it was like when her city burned 2 years ago, and what to expect, and what from there on will what the process will look like. We hired a county community recovery coordinator to manage and direct resources to those affected. Those are some of the things we've been working on in the last couple of weeks.
You know, when you brought up one that I hadn't actually thought about yet is in terms of, especially leading into property tax statements going out and all of that, folks now have property that doesn't have a home on it. Suddenly that changes some of the financial aspects of that.
Yeah, it definitely does. And our assessor's been very aggressive about getting out there and trying to get those forms to those folks. We had a meeting at Glide very early on, as soon as we could possibly identify the properties that were affected, you know, before the evacuations were even listed, we had a meeting there basically it was an invitation only to those folks that were affected and had to be, you know, to find out whether their house was burned or not. And we talked to each of those, and our assessor was there handing out those forms. That's basically a property tax reduction because obviously the value is no longer there.
Interesting. For the cleanup, one of the things that people wonder about as well is just how much can get cleaned up before the fall rains kick in, and the importance of making a lot of progress in a short amount of time.
Yeah, it's definitely under the gun. So we've been aggressively trying to contact people to get rights of entry so that we're coordinating this with ODOT actually is the lead agency on this, and they're coordinating with DEQ. So we're getting these rights of entry so they can go in, and they've got teams to basically clean up this hazardous waste at no cost to the homeowners, and they want to begin right away, and they want to have it done within 30 to 60 days, and it's going to rain before then, so we're going to try to prioritize those in the stream beds and along the river to try to get those done first, just so that we can make sure that stuff doesn't go into our watershed.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. County Commissioner Tom Kress, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson at 1. Later, KQEN Local Talk at 4. David Littlejohn and Katie Shook with True Wealth Radio. Inside Douglas County, Wednesday and Thursday, we're going to talk to the two candidates for Congress. Separate interviews with Republican Alex Scarlatos and incumbent Democratic Congressman Peter DeFazio. That's on Wednesday and Thursdays inside Douglas County. County Commissioner Tom Kress with us now, talking about the county's role in recovery from the recent wildfires, particularly the Archie Creek fire. One of the things that comes up with 109 homes destroyed, you have that many folks and family members, which vary in number, displaced. Some people have RVs, and at least in the short term, that's workable. But we're also in a county that has a pretty dramatic housing shortage. How does the county get involved and help people find places to live when right now that was already an issue before all this?
Yeah, well, you know, many of the displaced residents, you know, have had access, like you said, to short-term housing with family and friends. And, you know, they're, some of them are in RVs at like the fairgrounds or at Whistler's Park. And Red Cross is putting people up in the hotels, but that is really short term. We have some long term, we have mid and long term problems that we have to work through. In the midterm, after these, you know, the family and friends things is you wore your welcome out there. We're looking at helping them, people put temporary RV sites on their properties so that we're making it very easy to do that. So we've had lots of people step up and say, hey, I've got this parking lot basically, and if you'll let us, we'll put in temporary poles and they can bring RVs in there. That's one of the things we're doing in the long term. We're working very closely with the property owners as they come in with to help them rebuild. Mostly people will want to rebuild, so we've worked a template up, so proactively looked at all the properties and got those ready to know what it would take to rebuild in that spot. So that's one of the things, you know, kind of things we're trying to look for right now.
I know that the utilities, Pacific Power, talked to us last week about getting power to people, maybe in a different way or a different location on the site, depending on what's needed for now and then looking ahead. But the rebuilding process, I mean, you have a lot of homes. You've got infrastructure to be checked out, wells and septic and things like that to look at. Even in a best case scenario, I know that FEMA normally says oftentimes it'll be 18 months before you can even begin to rebuild.
Yeah, there's, you know, first step, I've got to say this again, we've got to clean up the hazardous waste. We get the ash and trash out of there, that debris. And then, you know, you do have to, if a property owner is wanting to rebuild, they're going to have to look at their MOSI system. We're probably on septic systems. We're going to have to look to make sure that they're in, you know, survived okay. Many will have some damage. And then you've got other challenges because a lot of these places were built prior to current land use laws, prior to the overlays that the state has put on the Wild and Scenic River. And those are challenges that we're going to have to overcome, but we are committed to help those folks get their home back.
What about businesses impacted? Now, mainly the area that was affected by the fires, mainly homes. But what about any businesses there along 138 that had issues? Is there special help the county can help access through FEMA or some other part of the federal chain?
Well, you know, right now we've not seen any assistance grant through FEMA for businesses. It's all been individual. We did end up working on an assistant grant for small business for some COVID related issues, not directly related to this, the fires. But, you know, and in fact, while I got the opportunity, if you have an environmental health license through Douglas County and you didn't receive a grant application, please call our office. But other than that, right now the businesses, we're trying to work with them on a one-on-one basis, but there isn't anything out there that we've seen so far to help them in that.
As much as we had a high level of devastation, we think about other areas, Phoenix, Talent, which had half of the houses lost in Oregon, were in that fire down there. And also the area out east of Springfield, 700 homes there, and really one entire small town that is virtually gone. And the fire people telling me last week that had things gone a little bit differently in the Archie Creek fire and in the even the early fire there that began the whole process out closer to Glide, that potentially the area of Glide and Incorporated could have been lost, and even up kind of the sideways route that it takes out towards the edge of Sutherland and Oakland. I mean, as bad as this is, I'm keeping told it could have been a whole lot worse.
Yeah, we were definitely got lucky. We had the eastern part of Sutherland, all of Glide, you know, Little River, Idlewild Park, another day or two of those east winds and the conditions the way they were before. It clearly could have been different. We're very, very fortunate that, you know, what it sounds bad that we've lost, you know, that 100 plus homes, it could have been way more.
And what about, what do you get on a daily basis? I mean, are people calling the commissioner's office, or are they calling other county departments to look for help? Or kind of, I think a lot of people are still trying to figure out where to begin.
True story. You know, so a little bit of all those answers are correct. We've developed what we call a Douglas County Wildfire Recovery Toolkit. There's a link to it on our webpage, on Douglas County's webpage. You could call, if you don't have access to the internet, you can get one here physically at the county. There's also at Glide, at the Glide Middle School, the Glide Revitalization Group has them and FEMA are set up in the gym there every day, and they're handing out all kinds of information and help people get the answers to their questions. Basically, that's a volunteer group along with FEMA that is really helping out the community.
Seems like since 2015, it's been one thing after another in Douglas County. And as we, you know, react and kind of take a step back and look towards recovery from all of these situations, for people, you know, living outside of the North Umpqua who, you know, their life has virtually gone on maybe about the same. What about this situation? What should people be looking at maybe about their own affairs and being ready in case some situation happens where they live?
Well, you know, one of the main things I heard through from several different people is that people think they have a plan, but when that evacuation hits, you kind of lose your mind a little bit. And anything you had planned just goes away. So I think it's important to have that plan, but maybe have things organized. You know, your important belongings and that to-go kit that we always hear about. You know, that's really important. But having certain identify, even having a checklist by your door, is probably, you know, something to be very valuable. Because I can't tell you how many people I talked to said, man, I just wish I would have thought about grabbing this or that. But, you know, do it now. Think about it now and have it organized and have that list sitting there because, you know, the next time it could happen, it could be you.
And that includes fireproof safes. I know some folks who had their important documents and account numbers and things like that are hard to replicate. You know, those generally make it through fires if you've got the higher quality level fireproof safe, something like that. And that's something that a lot of people don't have.
No, you're right. They don't. I will caution you on that, though. Those fireproof safes seem to work pretty good in a normal house fire, they did not work very well in a wildfire. I saw a lot of tipped over, open, warped fireproof safes, and I will tell you, a lot of people disappointed because they just didn't hold up to the intense heat that a wildfire had.
And one of the other elements there is going through one of the available programs and essentially putting all your information in a secure file, you know, in the cloud so that it could be accessed somewhere else, if something like this happens.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And, you know, for those that are internet savvy and for those who are not, you know, share with somebody across that you know across the county that, you take their information, they can take yours. And that way you have that kind of stuff when you need it.
All right. It's going to be a long road ahead. County Commissioner Tom Kress, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.